Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show. My name is Noel Valbon. We are once again doing a Skype show because everyone is a little bit tender after New Year's Eve, and we've been various countries of the world, and this is just easier to do today. So apologies if you wanted to see us in the studio, but unfortunately, well, I say studio, it is a pub. But we are coming to you live by the wonders of internet TV. So we have Matt with us. Hi, Matt. How you doing?
How you doing? About yourself, mate?
I'm good, thank you. Happy New Year to you, sir.
You too.
And I've got Lee. Lee, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, very good, very good.
Very good. Lee almost did a Matt in terms of doing a Toulouse. He didn't get on a coach, but he almost went to the pub. So it's okay. He's trying to get himself back to the sort of like the mantle of being like the Matt of the group, but Matt still has that nailed for at least half a season after Toulouse. So he's got a long way to go before that he takes that mantle. So good to have you here, boys. And it was a decent New Year in the end. Obviously after the Cardiff win. So we need to chase our minds back, as we always do on the show, to the Wolves game. A surprising result. I think obviously fatigue did seem to play a part, but I don't think anyone would have thought that we would have capitulated as much as we did, and whether we just didn't have enough, whatever the word is, that we've been showing so much of recently in terms of you know, shots on goal, peppering the goal, showing proper attacks. No shots on goal in the second half at home is absolutely shocking. It was almost like when we started at the beginning of the season where we were having those problems in attack. But we normally were still grinding out results then. And obviously on Saturday, it wasn't the case. So just firstly, sort of just talk us through your opinions on how it went and where you thought the sort of the problems lie. So Matt, I'm going to go to you first.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the game, and it was such a strange one because obviously we came off the back of those two great results, didn't we? Free scoring against Everton and Bournemouth. And although you're not going to win every game with that amount of goals, I still felt confident that it would be another good result. And at half time, it felt quite comfortable. I mean, it was kind of, you know, we was probably playing just slightly better of the two teams, and you could just see us scoring one or two more second half. Everyone was relaxed, and we just come out second half and it was just a completely different game. It's almost like their team talk they had, their managers just said to them, look, we're only 1-0 down, they're looking tired, let's just go for it. And as soon as they did, there was only going to be one team that was going to win it. I remember just sitting there thinking, this feels ominous. You know, I mean, as a Spurs fan, you feel that quite often anyway, don't you? But I'm like, this does feel ominous, and I genuinely don't think we're going to get anything out of this. And you don't want to say it out loud, but that's how it felt, you know.
Did you feel like that before halftime?
No. Genuinely, at halftime, I was relaxed. I was chatting to some people who I've met, you know, through being a season ticket holder. We just all relaxed, smiling, saw a fantastic goal by Kane. Like I say, just thought it would be like a comfortable win. And it just completely, the game just completely turned on its head second half. Really weird.
So, Lee, what do you think the turning point was? Was there a particular turning point? Was it just where we sort of hit a mental fatigue element? Or what do you think we can sort of try and point our finger at?
I know people keep using the word fatigue keeps coming up. But I think we had players that we could have rotated beforehand. We could use players slightly differently in games leading up to this. We put two teams away comfortably, and we don't seem to kind of pull our key players out at the right times. So I don't really like the term fatigue. And we've got a lot of sports science that goes on behind the scenes that will tell you whether these guys are capable of, you know, fulfilling 90 minutes at a top level. So if Poch puts them out there, you know, I'm guessing that he's going with the mindset that they can put these teams away. You talk about turning points. I think just not getting that second goal. You know, like Matt said, we were comfortable in the first half. We had a lot of the ball. We made them do a lot of chasing. We made them work for it. But even then, you look at Kane's goal, and it was, you know, it was a hell of a strike. It was, you know, it's one out of the top drawer to unlock, you know, two banks of four. and we needed that second goal. And you got to remember, we went 3-0 up over at their place, and they made it, you know, a proper squeaky bum time at their gaff. So they came down looking to put one on us. And you think about their style of football, they can play a little bit. They do play a good style of football, and I think we took it for granted a little bit. And by the time that goal went in, we had to try and turn it back on, and we just didn't have enough time in the game, and there wasn't that spark.
I think we can sometimes, I don't know if it is a mental thing or a preparation thing, but I think we can appear complacent at times against the lesser teams. And that's obviously something that you just can't afford to do in this league. And Wolves aren't even that the level of a team this season. They've been fantastic. I think they've been a real breath of fresh air, even though they are sort of very inconsistent when they are on form. They're a real handful, as they've shown in many games. Before, as we said on last week's show, when we were predicting the game, we knew it was going to be a tough game. We weren't going to take it for granted. But I think it is really important what you're talking about in terms of the rotation thing, because there were many times, I totally agree, in previous games when we were far in front and he could have taken players off. And also, if you look at the rotation that he's done, he obviously did rotate the fullbacks, but he's not rotated Toby, and he's not rotated Winks, he's not rotated Sissoko, who are like the engine rooms of the midfield, the ones that are getting up and down the field, and that's obviously going to take an effect. And it's an interesting one. Obviously, we are suffering from injuries. Dyer is a big miss. Wanyama's been out. Dembele's been out. So in central midfield, you know, we are lacking in want numbers. We can see that. But then he could have played other players a little bit deeper. He could have given Skip more of a run out, and I think Skip has done great as far as I can see when he's come on. So I don't really see why he didn't deserve to come on sooner, or maybe start another game of this nature to give Winks or Sissoko a rest. I think it's obviously clear, it's clear to see in hindsight. It's a wonderful thing. But I read an Alistair Gold article after the game who listed various things, and the Skip substitution was one, because he said Skip was due to come on for Son, but then they equalised, and then he withdrew the substitution, even though Son did look quite tired. Obviously, Poch sees Son as more of a goal threat, and if we needed to get back in the game or if we needed to go for a winner, he thought Son was a better option to stay on. But then you also look at Nkudu on the bench. Nkudu's played 0 minutes pretty much this season. Pacey, you know, obviously should be fresh. He hasn't had an injury, as far as I'm aware. And a waste of a substitution. So it just baffles me why. And obviously there has been talking before about Poch. Sometimes he leaves it too late. Sometimes he doesn't react tactically in games. So Matt, do you think that was another case for that similar argument?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's players, like Lee was alluding to, there are players that you can use. And it's a bit, obviously we'll talk about the Cardiff game, but even with the Cardiff game, like, he played like 10 of the 11 players that he played against Wolves, and he seems to sort of, you know, they're the best starting 11 that he's going with. But sometimes, especially with the amount of fixtures that we've had over the last few weeks, it's just ridiculous the amount of games we've played. I mean, someone was saying, I remember when I was watching the Cardiff game, the commentary, they were saying we started the month off losing to Arsenal, I think, that's right. And I'm like, blimey, how many games have we played in December? Yeah. You know, so then we've got the players that we can rotate. And I know he's not been mentioned yet, but even Llorente, I mean, Llorente can do a job up front, can't he? And he can give Kane a bit of a break, you know? So there are players, and it is quite frustrating. He seems to sort of have the players he trusts, and he's almost kind of... whenever we lose, you're always going to look at someone to criticise, and I don't want it to be an attack on Pochettino, because he does so much. I think he's still got quite a lot of tactical nous that a lot of managers haven't got. But yeah, that maybe possibly is the one kind of, I don't know, weak spot that maybe he needs to work on, maybe.
Is it just a lack of just appreciation of the quality of the rest of his squad? Does he not trust Llorente in a Premier League game to start with him and then leave Kane on the bench? And if there's no score at halftime or 60 minutes, then bring Kane on. But, you know, he's gone with the Fab Four pretty much in all the games, apart from, I think he started Moura in the Bournemouth game. But, I mean, surely they're in that respect, in terms of the Christmas period, there should have been more rotation.
Definitely from the attacking players, I think. I mean, we put some teams away quite early and we still left them out there, and then we did Poch does what he does, and he does, you know, looks at the watch at 70 minutes, 75 minutes, and then makes a couple of changes. You know, I don't think those boys need to be out there after the hour mark. We're 4 or 5 up. You know, rotate them around, and not for the rest, but have a look at, see what maybe Nkudu could do in a more relaxed environment. See, you know, he might nick a goal and his confidence will be sky high. You know, Llorente, I feel a bit sorry for the geezer. It's not that he can't score goals in the Premier League. You know, he's proved that he can. He's not a two-bob player. He comes on, he gets 6 minutes here, 3 minutes there, and we're normally well ahead and we're not even trying to put the ball up the pitch at that point. You know, we start doing that, well, we'll do a little bit of keep ball, and it goes from, you know, Ericsson to Winks, Winks to Ericsson, Ericsson to Sissoko, back to Winks. And, you know, the poor bloke's just running around up top. Just, it doesn't even come up to him to create a chance, really. So, you know, I feel a little bit sorry for him as well. But we've got players that we can rotate and rest others in. Let them show how hungry they are, make an impression. And we haven't done that. And I think these games gone in December, we had a perfect opportunity to do so. We put ourselves in a really strong position to let a few of those boys loose.
Yeah. Do you know, for me, that one of the most frustrating ones for me is Kyle Walker-Peters. That boy should be getting so much more minutes on the pitch than he does. Like, every time he plays, he gets man of the match, and he's only played 3 games in the last, like, 3
I know,
years.
It's incredible. It really is. And you're right. And you do, you know, a player like him, you come in, you know, and you do exactly that. You get 3 assists against Bournemouth, get a clean sheet, man of the match. Trippier comes in, doesn't do particularly well against Wolves, makes the mistake for one of their goals, and then he starts with him.
Yeah.
And it's like, just...
It's frustrating.
That really, really does frustrate me. It's just one of those things, I think, you know. Okay, so after that frustration of the home defeat on Saturday, we did then have a very happy new year as we went and did a job on Cardiff, as they say. It did look like it was a fun game to see. I know a few friends went down there on a bit of a New Year's jolly, and they're still recovering now. So hello to you, Brian and Andy, if you're out there listening or watching, because, it was good. We could hear you. It was just one of those games, wasn't it, really? Cardiff were never in it. Obviously, when you score so early in a game like that, it was almost like when we conceded early against Barcelona, it was like, you know, you can tell that the crowd is just like, we had to start well. We had to get through that first 20 minutes because of who we are and because of how our attacking prowess. And, you know, it got to 25 minutes and they were 3-0 down. And it was just, it was crazy. I don't really think it could be an easy game in the Premier League now, but it wasn't a difficult game, was it? You know, I mean, Cardiff don't really offer much up front, so obviously that helps in terms of trying to keep a clean sheet. But I think we dealt with everything they had quite well. I still think we're not 100% convincing on set pieces, and maybe that will come back to haunt us later on in the season. But I thought it was great to see Kane again playing a bit more of a deeper role, involved in quite a few of the goals from an early stage, which I really like to see because his passing is so on point. And Sissoko again, and putting a shift in, and also being involved in quite a few of the goals. He seems to now be like the sort of linchpin. There's quite a lot. If you look at the goals we're scoring, if you sort of go sort of three passes back from the assister or even the scorer, it's him who's either made a run or had the key pass. And that's just like, you know, I know we've spoken about it before and I'm not just going to go on about it, but it's so amazing to see. I'm still amazed. I can't not be amazed, but it is fantastic to see. So Lee, I'll go to you first. What was your sort of thoughts on the game? And also, I suppose, the fact that he did start once again, as Matt alluded to, 10 of the 11 that started against Wolves. I mean,
yep. That was a little bit of a surprise. Probably not so much the forward players, and I just thought maybe get ahead early, and they might capitulate like some of the others. I just had a feeling we would we would put them away. And I thought, I was hoping it would be for like five or six, because just because of Warnock, really, just absolutely does my and he even proved it more afterwards with some of his comments. However, we played well. We was comfortable. And that's why I kind of alluded to the fatigue bit in the previous section, because I just, you know, it's the same guys, same 10 guys, and they just used the ball better. They was more clinical with it. They were more precise, and they just took their chances. I mean, we still wasted a few. And, you know, if you go back to the social media group, there was a big debate about whether we should have scored five or six or whether we should have settled for the three. But you know what? Maybe, again, like we just spoke to, maybe if we want five or six, maybe we take out two or three of those top boys at the top and let them attack Cardiff with a totally, you know, clean sheet. You know, they're out there from scratch going, oh, let's see what we can do. So they may have nicked another two or three goals and made it a four or five that we would have liked. However, we controlled the game very well and we got a clean sheet. And, you know, the clean sheet is as good as that extra goal or maybe extra two goals that we wanted. So it's nice to see us do that. It was nice to see us bounce back. And that's the only good thing, I think, about the games coming thick and fast sometimes. If you do have that defeat, it's like when we did lose to that mob down the road. The next game was just around the corner. And we bounced back straight away. So when we have lost, they've been at decent times of year, I think. So the next game just come around. I was happy with it. I thought we did a job. And we was professional with it. And we would have all loved a few more goals. Absolutely. I think Delhi could have nicked one and Sonny could have had one more. But I'll take 3-0 away and crack on. We've got some big games coming up.
Yeah, you alluded to there, actually. I mean, 3-0 away, again, our away record is just absolutely amazing. And it continues to be so. And I think we said it before in the show that I think our team does suit playing on the break. Obviously, we did have a very good victory at home to Bournemouth, but Bournemouth did try and play a little bit more than like the Burnley did, for example. We did struggle against Burnley. We did struggle against Wolves second half, as we know, who do play on the counter attack themselves as well. So I think we really do suit playing away, and that's why, hopefully, against the bigger teams who are going to play against us, that's when we, fingers crossed, will be able to profit from that. So Matt, what was your take on the game, buddy?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, we won 3-0 away. I think the problem is if you didn't watch the game, if you missed it for whatever reason, and you looked at the score afterwards and you saw that we won 3-0 away at Cardiff, obviously a clean sheet, you'd be happy with that, wouldn't you? I think the part of the problem was because we scored those three goals in the first 28 minutes, wherever it was, you're kind of thinking we're going to go and score a few more. And that's what we wanted. Like, you'd been entertained for the first half. We'd seen three goals. Right, let's see us score one or two the second half. But I think, you know, talking about fatigue, I think that Cardiff allowed us to just relax. You know, we obviously, sorry, I know you don't like the word, but tiredness, you know, I don't want to see you. But they're obviously tired, and you can see that. And I understand what you're saying, Lee, about the sports scientists. They know they're professionals. I appreciate that. But it's been such a lot of games in such a short period of time that it's got to come into it at some point. So what Cardiff should have done second half, I know Wolves were only 1-0 down and they were 3-0 down, but they should have come out and made a bit of a game for it, and they didn't. They're not
great attacking players, even if they
literally just took their trousers down, bent over and just said, go on, give us your best shot. That's what it was like, wasn't it? There was nothing from them, was there? There was nothing all game from them.
What kind of a show are you trying to turn this into? What the hell?
I think it was self-preservation. Self-preservation from their point. They're going to be in that dogfight at the end of the season. So I think they took the three and they banked it and go, let's not get smacked for six or seven here, because they're the ones counting their goal difference at the end of the season, believe it or not. It definitely won't be us. We'll be where we are on points and points alone, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Any particular performances stood out for you guys?
Sissoko for me again. He had a great game, didn't he? He's just just seems to be like, I know we talk about it quite a lot, but it's one of those unexplained mysteries, how someone can just be so awful and now just be so instrumental in more or less everything we do. It's bizarre.
Yeah, he didn't get the is it Son that got man of the match, was it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Son got man of the match, and I thought Sissoko was unlucky not to get man of the match, or even not to get a mention when they mentioned the kind of top two players for it. I thought he had a very, very good game, but he's still just top draw entertainment, isn't he? I mean, he runs. I still can't work him out. I mean, he went through on goal. There was one point he went through on goal, and he started doing like a river dance trying to adjust his feet. You know, and in the end he opted out of the shot. He actually checked back and he passed it out, and everyone else was going. You could hear the fans going, "Shoot, shoot, shoot."
Yeah.
And then he went wider, another one, and he did. He shot and he put it in like, you know, row Z. And,
he's got to get a goal soon. He really has.
Oh, I think he scored a goal and the geezer will become unstoppable from now until May. He will be absolutely he'll be on fire if he notches. I just want one to hit him in the face and go in. A bit like
No, we don't want to hit him because he had one of those last year against like Huddersfield. It was like, no, it's got to be a proper screamer. A proper screamer. He needs to hit one of those pearlers. It's maybe even the new stadium, you know, whenever we get in there, touch wood, you know. First goal, new stadium. Yeah, exactly.
That'd be
But it was like Zakora. Do you remember Zakora when he went through that time? And everyone was thinking, oh my God. And then he rounded the keeper and threw it over the bar. It was like, oh no. Everyone was like rooting for him. It was like, yes, Didier. And then it's like, oh, Didier. Oh man, I remember that so much. So we were talking about an article the other day on the Spurs fans DSI group, which we're all members of, which is about the most expensive mascot packages. Now, I didn't realise that people paid to be a mascot. I don't know if you guys did, but I thought it was just something that was always just a thing that the club offered to lucky kids from, you know, local areas or just local, like just like young fans. And it was something that was basically just like churned out a conveyor belt of kids that were up for doing it and they got it for free. However, this is not the case. And so the most expensive is actually Everton, £718. West Ham United, £700. Leicester, £600, and Tottenham Hotspur, £405, which is just, I think, incredible. And there are loads of clubs that offer it for free. The scum down the road, Chelsea, Fulham, Huddersfield, Liverpool, Man City, Man United, Newcastle, United and Southampton. So why? I mean, obviously, Levy's Levy. Is this just another Levy-nomic? Is this just like another example of how he's just squeezing everything out of us with the whole increase in season ticket prices for a stadium we haven't even sat in? You know, it's just like, what's the reason for this? Is this just a general commercialization of the game? Should we just all hold our hands up and just, you know, say fair enough? But if there's half the clubs that are still not charging, then why do we have to?
Okay, I think what's
go on, Matt, go for it.
Sorry, I was going to say, I think it's quite telling that we're the only club in the top six as well that are charging anything, let alone £400. It almost leaves a bad taste, doesn't it? I mean, they're mascots, aren't they? It's just one of those things where you can make so much money from different elements of football. This shouldn't be really one of them. This should be one of them that kind of, and as other clubs, most clubs have proved, you know, other clubs around us in the top six, they're not charging, so you don't have to do it. You know, it leaves a bad taste for me.
Yeah, so I did a bit of digging around on the back of this because when I read the article and my time back at previous clubs, We would have mascots, and it would either be, there was always from junior members. So there was either, you know, like, they would be junior Spurs, or didn't play for Spurs, however, but that's the sort of element they would be. And it was usually be their birthdays, or around their birthday, or they was picked randomly. Mm-hmm. So I did a little bit of research on the back of this, and most of this is, on our part anyway, is just your... your standard media witch hunt. So they've got a price. They've done a pricing, or they've done a price structure. They've whacked us on there in fifth place on the table for 405 quid. I'm led to believe that it's not actually 405. It is a couple of hundred.
Okay.
But from our 11 mascot places, so the 11 mascots that walk out with the players, 9 of them are free, and they are from the Junior Spurs. They are from the Junior Spurs clubs. So they're all junior members, and they are selected randomly. The other two places are, let's call it £405. They are charged at £405 each. And that is a package that includes the full home kit, a set of night boots, 2 tickets for the match for their parents or whoever wishes to escort them to the game, a match program, a team picture, a picture of the team, and obviously a full set of autographs with the lads in the change rooms before the games. And that actual £405, so £810 per home match, is then donated to charity. So Tottenham actually bank their £810.
Right. Wow, I wish you'd have told me that before I started stating them for the price. You're making me sound too. Like all right. No, but it's, well, I'm pleased that you did your research, and I'm pleased that you managed to make me look like a fool, which is good. But as everyone did, and you know, but that's just classic media witch hunt. It's like, that's ridiculous. It's manipulation of facts, and I'm not surprised that they slated us, but that's just classic media manipulation of facts, not revealing the full extent of everything there, which you just said. So that's actually really interesting, and that's great that you've been able to reveal that, because it just shows it's ridiculous.
Which is why I'm happy for, you know, you could be anybody who's read that fact and gone, oh, look at Spurs charging this, which is nice to get it out there, you know, even if it's just on our platform, that it's not always as, you know, typical media, it's not always as read or as perceived. So, yeah, all our mascot money goes to charity. And it's only 2 out of 11 places.
Did you just look at the Spurs one, or did you look at any of the other clubs? Is it just sort of,
I just asked around with a few Spurs fans, and a couple actually had kids who had already been mascots at games.
Right.
My daughter's a junior member, and she's always talking about, you know, wanting to go out on the pitch and stuff. And there's been a junior member, they've never mentioned like the charge to it. So, after speaking to a couple of people, it turns out that the media didn't quite get it as per printed.
Just a little bit. Mm. Oh man, I really miss not being able to do that. I wish I could. Yeah, I think, you know, just have a bit of a shave. You know, I'm not big. You guys have seen me, you know.
I'll tell you what, there was, I don't know if you've seen it last season, and it was at my old club. There was a stag do, and they bought the mascot place for one of them.
Oh my God.
And he was fully dressed up, and he went out with
He went out
with the first team.
Did he have to hold his hand as he walked out?
Oh my God, that's amazing. I love that so much. Wow. Oh man, that's giving me some ideas for my friends that are getting married next year. Amazing. Okay, so it's time now to talk about the FA Cup. It's that time of year, it's New Year. It's January. It's the FA Cup third round. We go to the mighty Tranmere Rovers, which is going to be an interesting game, I think. We didn't do massively well last season with these away games. A couple of them went to replays, and it was just churning them out. Even though we played okay sides, I thought, in terms of the teams that we put out, obviously playing on pitches which aren't amazing is difficult, but... you would have thought that we would have enough. Do you think he's going to go massive full-on rotation? Who could he play in centre mid? Question for you, Lee. Who can he play in centre midfield?
I think he'll go with Skip, Winks, and I think he'll have Sissoko holding in there. And I think you'll see. Is Lamella fit? Is he just on the?
I think he's still injured at the moment.
They were saying he's not back fully yet. There was Dembele and Vertonghen were back in training also, but they're not fit to start. So hopefully, maybe the Man U game, I think, for those two. If Dembele is around still, I think there's rumours that he still might go to China.
I think we see Winks and Skip with Sissoko, Ali and Moura.
So he's not going to rest Winks or Sissoko again? You think he's going to stick with the same? I suppose he can't.
He can't, can he? Yeah.
I think that'll be the case, and I think probably Eriksen and Kane then sit on the bench, and you know, please God,
Llorente.
Well, yeah, his last game before he shoots off, I suppose, to sunnier climates. No,
Turkey apparently. That's
well, yes.
Matt, what's your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Lee with the midfield. I mean, we haven't got much options, have we? I mean, I'd like to talking about. Cole Walker-Peters earlier, I'd like to see him have a game. Hopefully he'll give him a game. And I mean, I know I think I might have spoken on the previous show about my kind of apprehension of playing the two youngsters in defence, Foyth and Sanchez. And I'm thinking, I mean, Vertonghen's not back, is he? I mean, I'd worry about playing them two, I think, in that game tomorrow, because he's talking about the games last year, Noel, that we played. I think it was Rochdale, one of them, wasn't it? When we went 2-1 up and then they scored an equaliser. And they're always tricky places to go, aren't they? Because the crowds are on your back, aren't they? And you need to kind of, I don't know, you need to have a bit of kind of confidence about you, I guess, don't you? And I think if you played them two, I'd be slightly worried. So I guess you'd have to play for me, maybe Toby, with one of them. And then maybe give Llorente a start.
You know? I think you have to start Llorente, surely. You know, that's why he's in the squad. I mean,
well, we hoped so, though, didn't we? And it's never really panned out like that. You know, he's still always gone with Kane. I think the only time we really seen it was it Rochdale last year? And even then, Kane had to come off the bench. And
that's right, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's against West Ham in the Cup he started.
Yeah, yeah. I think he will start him. I'll hope he starts him. And just alluded to your fact there, Matt, I think he could well go with Ben Davies.
Yeah, yeah, he's played a couple of games centre-back, hasn't he?
Yeah. And one of the boys in at the back.
Yeah.
So, but
I think he's played well when he's played this season. I think he's played really well. He's looked strong.
Two clean sheets, has he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he might well go with Ben Davies there and one or the other.
Youngsters.
And yeah, I'm with you with Walker Peters. He's definitely got to have a run out. Yeah. Got to have a run out.
100%. Okay, so obviously predictions time comes around once again. So, Matt, I'm going to throw to you first, the oracle that you are.
Well, I mean, I got horribly wrong with the Wolves game, didn't I? So, I don't know why you're asking me. I don't know. I think we'll win it. I mean, I'm tempted to go with your Tourette's score. No, I mean, I fancy that a 2-1.
Fair enough. Yeah. You know, I don't own the score, so you're more than welcome to do that. And Lee, what are you going to go for?
Yeah, I think we will be a bit more convincing. I'm going to go for 4-1.
4-1.
Yeah.
Yowza. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'm going to go for a tight 2-0. Quite scrappy. And I think at the end of the day, they've got a big game on Tuesday, so they're not really, I think, it's going to be similar to the Cardiff game, and if we do go up in the first half, they're probably not going to exert much in the second half, so I can't really see them going to get that many goals. So I think they'll be saving themselves for the Chelsea. So I think 2-0. Okay, so it's time to look forward, look ahead, and preview the semi-finals of the Carabao Cup. It's a bit weird having a two-leg semi-final. I can't remember the last time I've read one. But I think it's an interesting one. Obviously, Chelsea didn't look particularly good on Wednesday, whenever. Sorry, what day are we on?
Yesterday.
Where are we? What year is it? That's the main thing. So what's today? Today's Thursday, right? We're filming today, Thursday, Wednesday. Chelsea didn't look very good on Wednesday. Cut. Heavily reliant on Hazard once again in that game. They didn't really offer much. Morata was through a couple of times. He just looks so pony. I think Giroud's injured. So we got to fancy our chances at home, surely. I mean, obviously, we tore them apart. when Son scored the little run goal. But I don't think they're going to fall apart as much as that. I don't think Luiz could ever play as badly as he did that day. I think you've got to be positive of getting a good result in this first leg. It might be obviously a different story at theirs, even though we did do well last season. We got to be confident. Matt, what are you saying?
Yeah, I mean, I prefer to be playing at home in a second leg, to be honest with you, but, you know, it is what it is. But if we can get a decent result, you know, 2-3 goal difference. I know it's Chelsea. I'm not saying that that's what I'm expecting, but that's kind of what I think we need. Because going to their ground, and like you say, I know we got a result against them. We sort of broke that, 20-odd year hoodoo. But it's one of them grounds I still don't like going to. So I think for me, as long as we can win the game, hopefully get a decent enough lead, then, yeah, I fancy our chances.
Got to hope that they're not going to, you know, even if we did go there with a, you know, even a 2-goal lead or even a 1, you know, like I said before on the show, I say every week, you know, you got to fancy us scoring against anyone. And then they don't really look like they're capable of scoring more than one goal a game at the moment. They're looking quite limited in their attack. So, you know, if you keep Hazard quiet, they're not looking as good as they once were, obviously. Lee, what are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I agree with that. I'm hoping to go to their place with a 2-goal advantage. I think they're very limited at the moment. You know, and like I say, they're struggling for goals. Everything goes through Hazard. It'll be about doing a job on him like we've done in the last two games, really. I know he pops up and I know he's a thorn in most team size. But I think if we do a proper job on him, I think we can definitely nick a couple of goals. And then going over at their place, as long as we play with the right mentality and go with the right attitude, you know, rather than trying to defend a goal, you know, just kind of go out with the same attitude. And, you know, I think we'll do it. I think we'll do them over the two legs.
And then in terms of lineup, obviously in the previous round against the Scum, he did go for Gazzaniga. Would you also think he's going to do the same again? Is he the cup goalie this year, you think? Well, he's used Vorm before, hasn't he, in that kind of similar vein?
Don't use Vorm, please.
No. in terms of having a cup keeper.
I know what you meant. No, I think Gazzaniga, I'm happy for him to put him in. Before he came in at the beginning of the season, I was one of these people that was getting the ump with people saying, oh, it should be Vorm number two, he should be number three. But he's come in, and every time he's played, he's impressed me. You know, his shot stopping's good. His distribution, I'd argue, is probably better than Lloris's. I mean, when we played the Scum, I mean, he had a hand in both of the goals, didn't he? You know, it's kind of from his. So I'd be happy, very happy to see him in the game. Playing in both leagues, and I think he deserves to, because it's one of them things, isn't it, where you can't just he's played in every round, and then you can't just say to him, look, you know, sorry mate, you know, we've got to bring Lloris in. I think he deserves to play.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's I don't think it's one of those either. I don't think the majority of the fans worry now when they see his name appear in the, and I think, you know, I think you alluded to him as a number two. I think a lot of people say he's probably like 1.5. Because he's got to be that close, and the fans are that comfortable now, which is bloody nice. You know, it's been a long time since we've been able to put the second choice goalkeeper in, and nobody panics anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
I still think he needs more game time. Then, if you're going to give him that opportunity, if you're going to get him to get to that level, then he needs to play more, really. And obviously, that's then dropping Lloris, not going to happen. And club captain as well. That makes it more difficult, there, doesn't it?
It does. And I think we could definitely have a conversation on that on another show for sure. Because I can see it going down that way. Once we're in the new stadium and we've had a season under our belts, I'd expect to see him pushing on for that number one and being given a lot more airtime next season.
Okay, gentlemen, it's time for me to say thank you very much for coming on the show once again. You can now go off and watch the game. I think there's some game happening tonight. I don't know, some two average teams. So thank you very much, Matt, for joining once again via Skype. And thank you very much to Lee for coming on. Been a pleasure having you on as always. And fingers crossed, we're going to have another successful few days. Tomorrow against Tranmere in the Cup. Obviously, record this on a Thursday. So best of luck tomorrow, boys. And once again, Happy New Year to you both.
Cheers, you too. Mate.
Thank you.
All of the normal hashtags and normal handles are going to come on your screen now. So we are The Thing I Love Most Show on Facebook, is TTILM Show on Instagram and on Twitter. And of course, we are a YouTube channel as well, so you can find us there. Please do share this with your friends if you know any Spurs fans that would like to have a listen or a watch. We really do appreciate it. And if you would like to join us on the show, if you'd like to actually come over and be either on via Skype or even in the studio, we record the Pride of Tottenham, formerly the Pride of Tottenham pub in Tottenham, which is now called the Blue Coats. It's on Tottenham High Road. We always welcome people to get involved. So if you are up for it, please do let us know. There's loads of ways you can contact us. So please do keep on watching, keep on subscribing, keep on sharing. We really do appreciate it. And enjoy the game tomorrow.